I send warm greeting to each and every one of you worshiping with us wherever you are. This is the day that the Lord has made that we may celebrate our life in Christ. So let me begin with the humor that I have found. A man retired from his desk job in a city and moved to a countryside, planning to live a simpler and peaceful life. He bought a farmhouse with some land around it. After he moved in, he bought 100 baby chicks. Disappointingly, they all died. The man did not understand why, so he bought another 100 baby chicks and tried his best to take care of them. All of these chicks died again. The man was now confused and looking for answers. He wrote to the county agricultural extension office and explained his problem. He told how he wanted to become a successful chicken farmer and needed to know what he was doing wrong. He asked if he could possibly be planting his chicks too close together or perhaps too deep. The county extension office responded by letter that they could not answer his questions until he sent in a soil sample. What is wrong with this picture? The new farmer and the office, supposedly with many professionals, did not know anything about raising chickens. People are expected to have a good grasp of less complicated matters, but not all of them do. For the believers, a concept of spiritual warfare is an easy concept, but not all the believers understand what the spiritual warfare is. The world is engaged in the spiritual warfare, and spiritual forces are at work deep on the physical wars. The world has been fighting many battlefronts, such as military, economy, culture, information, and today, the deadly virus. All of these may not have appeared to be spiritual warfares, but they were either sparked by some spiritual component or at least have impacted people spiritually. The Bible shows countless examples of the spiritual warfare. Let me share with you one that may plainly illustrate it. In 2 Kings chapter 6 and 7, spoke about the situation of Israel. Israel was at war with Aram, but detailed maneuvers of Aram's military operations were leaked to Israel before they take any actions. Israel came up with countermeasures so successfully every time. King of Aram was enraged and suspected his officers of espionage. Officers in the camp of Aram were innocent. It turned out that Elisha, a spiritual leader of Israel, had the power to detect Arameans' secret remotely. Elisha could sense the very word that the king of Aram spoke in his own bedroom. So the king of Aram sent his army and encircled the house of Elisha. Elisha's servant was frightened when he found it out. Elisha told his servant that God's army, more than the numbers of Aramean soldiers, surrounded them. Elisha asked God to open his servant's eyes, and the servant saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. In another occasion, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. People in the city were famished as the siege lasted so long. The entire city was at the verge of death by starvation. But Elisha predicted that Arameans would withdraw without fighting. The scripture explains what happened next. The Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us." So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned everything behind them. These battles clearly demonstrated spiritual dimensions in wars. Israel did not fight Arameans, but armies of God fought against them and defeated them. Israel is geographically and strategically located in a very disadvantageous place. Egypt, Assyria, Persia, Babylon, and Romans were the biggest empires of the world, and Israel happened to be located in the vicinity of those superpowers and had been under constant attack from them. Those empires rule over the nation of Israel for millennia. Even today, the situation has not been changed much. Those mega empires rose and fell, but the nation of Israel still exists. How did the minuscule nation of Israel survive after fighting hundreds of wars? The force of God was deeply involved in their wars. So many battles that Israel has fought point up to what kind of warfare that the world is engaged in. The Apostle Paul was highly educated in the tradition of Israel and was so familiar with Israel's history. Even though Paul was not speaking of wars that Israel had fought in his letter to Ephesians, his word defined the kind of wars the nation had fought. And it says in Ephesians, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We want to learn from Paul and have the same perspective to see what is actually going on in our lives and discern the dark spiritual forces underneath. It is not just the deadly virus the world is fighting against, but also the dark spiritual virus. What are those dark spiritual viruses? During the pandemic, the devil attacks us to rob us of peace. The attack also comes in the form of discouragement and depression. And you see in the mass media, so many people are getting impatient. This long battle is exhausting and overpowering. It is not just our body, but our spirit is under attack. To fight this kind of spiritual war and defeat the spiritual enemy, we need to develop spiritual strategies. What is Paul's advice for us to engage in the spiritual warfare? His very first and foremost strategy is, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. We sometimes face dire circumstances that makes us realize how weak we are, and the battle is way too great for us to handle. Our physical strength is drained. Our wisdom fails. How do we fight the kind of life's battle when we are not strong enough? Paul says we need to rely on God's strength. When Arameans laid siege, Israel starved and was at the verge of dying from starvation. They did not have enough military force to fight against the enemy. Even if they would have, they were all malnourished and were not physically fit. They did not have any physical strength to go to war. At their stake, God came to rescue them. It was not the Israel's army that defeated Arameans, but the army of the Lord. Our strength is not going to be sufficient to fight the kind of battle. We need God's strength. Finding strength in the Lord is not our option. It is a must, for we are all weak in the spiritual battle. Lisa Tokarest, in a book, Living Life on Purpose, Discovering God's Best for Your Life, shares this story. The wives who lived within the walls of the Weinsberg Castle in Germany were well aware of the riches it held, gold, silver, jewels, and wealth beyond belief. Then the day came in 1141 AD when all their treasures were threatened. An enemy army had surrounded the castle and demanded the fortress. The fortune and the lives of the men within. There was nothing to do but surrender. Although the conquering commander had set a condition for the safe release of all women and children, the wives of Weinsberg refused to leave without having one of their own conditions met as well. They demanded that they be allowed to fill their arms with as many possessions as they could carry out with them. Knowing that the women couldn't possibly make a dent in the massive fortune, their request was honored. When the castle's gate opened, the army outside was brought to tears. Each woman had carried out her husband. All their husbands must have been very skinny and light enough for the wives to carry. When our strength is gone, we need to rely on God's strength to carry us. We have a similar situation like that. David was almost in the same situation. He ran from the threat of King Saul and hid in a cave. Not knowing this, Saul came to the same cave for a rest. There was no way for David to escape if Saul would find out he was there. But by God's intervention, David was spared from that, and he wrote Psalm 18, according to the book of Psalm. David wrote that psalm right after he escaped. And it went like this. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I've been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. God is all-powerful to carry us all in His arms. Even when we are encircled by so many troubles and we cannot fight the war by our own strength, God is going to carry us out of the problems. Have we run out of strength fighting against the spiritual battles? Psalm 71 says this, Do not cast me away when I'm old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, find strength in the Lord for the journey and fight on. Amen.